Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Intentional Icing. I'm Kaylee here with Alex to discuss some hot hockey news this week. There's a few big topics that have to do with coaching shakeups and probable trades, so there's definitely no shortage of hot takes out there, and we, of course, are about to add ours. I think Alex is getting connected here. Alex, you there?
I'm here.
Perfect. So let's start off with the elephant in the room for the Bruins fan. Claude Julien firing. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, the writing, even though I'm not a fan at all, the writing was on the wall. You could kind of see where the front office was leaning, and we were kind of stagnant. So, I understand why, but at the same time, too, as someone who's watched the organization for a while, I know that, you know, Claude Julien is a terrific coach, and, you know, even Don Sweeney has at least been effective at drafting. To me, it's really Cam Neely and the others at the top of the organization not being on the same page with people below them. I think that's they have bigger internal problems to solve. But the sad to see Claude go. He changed the city for made it. He got it back to hockey for the first time in 30 years. So that's tough. That's tough to see.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the Bruins players were really loyal to him, like beyond his coaching, just as a guy. So that'll be kind of interesting to see if that affects the locker room too much, because that was definitely the case we saw this season earlier with Florida, that the coach firing affected the locker room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, they're all – it's not just the good players. It's the leaders on the team who appreciate Julien. So there's going to be a trickle-down effect. I think that he still has a good amount of respect for Cassidy, the interim coach, but you know, it's just they'll feel slighted, especially since they've been with the team for, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. So it's you know, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be an adjustment, but at the same time too, you saw it in Florida, you saw it in St. Louis too. Hitchcock had been there for a long time. They're gonna be these things happen in hockey. It's not quite like other sports, like basketball or baseball, and so it's if they can, coaches are always at risk, no matter what they do, with the possible exception of Quenneville and in Chicago. But even then, I mean, if Chicago were to just start tanking, you could see a switch. It's just kind of the way that it goes, and it's a bad business sometimes. But that's kind of, that's just kind of what happens.
Yeah, speaking of Hitchcock, it's obviously too early to see how much an effect Mike Yeo is going to have on the Blues as far as turning them around in the long run. But, you know, is that coaching change really solving the root problem? You know, it's, I don't know. Hitchcock's been there so long and has had so much success. The real problem, I think, this season is with the goaltending, not necessarily his coaching.
I couldn't agree more. It's remarkable, because I found myself a couple of years ago saying, wow, you know, this goalie tandem of Elliott and Allen is such a gift, a luxury for them. They have all the luck in the world. And now Elliott's gone, and he's not even playing all that well in Calgary, for that matter. Allen has taken a massive step back. And then you have the well-traveled Carter Hutton, who, you know, he's an okay backup, but that's just not – you're not going to be a playoff team if you're being led by Carter Hutton. So it's the goalie issue. And, you know, I think they've taken some small steps back on defense. But largely their core is the same. Some people have had kind of indifferent years. Pareko hasn't scored as much as people would like. But you know, they still should be better than this. And so I think their depth has been tested this year at all positions, especially goalie. You have to wonder if at some point they elect to go with young Phoenix Copley in the AHL. I think he's a terrific player. Of course, he was in the Oshie trade, but you know, I think they could at some point conceivably go to him, especially if things are starting to look poor and maybe someone tries to get a backup rental, you know.
Yeah, we kind of touched on this in the past too, but the Stars are in nearly the same situation. I think it's a miracle that Lindy Ruff hasn't been fired yet, and their goalies are so beyond questionable. I know we talked about that in the last podcast, but since then they picked up Justin Peters in a trade, and I don't know. That's not going to solve anything. And you just,
the Central
was so strong just a year or two ago, and now you see these teams that were big contenders just kind of not imploding, because neither of them are bad teams, but you see them kind of deteriorating a lot earlier than, like, you would have expected.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the thing about Dallas, you know, they, unlike St. Louis, they've had more injuries. But at the same time, too, you know, this was a team that was not just good on offense. I mean, they were unstoppable. And it just sort of hasn't clicked as much, and they've been rotating a lot of young guys on defense, and then we probably should have seen this coming with, you know, guys like Niemi and Lehtinen. They're starting to get older, and they're not finding it. They're not the same. They're not as sharp as they were 2, 3, 4 years ago. Peters is, again, it's one of those things where Dallas is on the outside looking in. Maybe someone like Lehtinen goes in a trade, and Peters can come back up and fill a role for a little bit. He's not horrible. He's had some experience in the NHL, Washington, Arizona. I'm probably forgetting one too, but
Carolina.
Thank you. Of course, that was the one I was forgetting. But you know, he could work. It's good for them to get depth, especially because their only depth right now, I believe, is Jack Campbell, who is he's been a bust. Actually, no, he went to Los Angeles. Forgive me. Yeah, it's been a tough go at it for those goalies. So hopefully they can start to fix these things, and Lindy Ruff will sort of live on the edge for a little bit.
Yeah, so who then do you think is the next coach that's going to be on the chopping block?
I mean,
there's clearly no one except, like you said, Quenneville is safe right now.
Right. You know, it's I think Lindy Ruff was my first pick before we talked about this. You know, beyond that, you sort of have to think, be like, well, you know, a lot of these teams are still in it, so I can't say if they're going to get sent away. And you have some younger teams that are close. You know, Buffalo and Carolina are still very much alive. And I don't think you'll see any movements from Tampa Bay. I think they kind of realize that that they're going to be that, you know, John Cooper's a good coach, and that he's not, that it's not really at fault here. It's sort of an accumulation of injuries and maybe some shaky personnel decisions.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm kind of wondering what Jack Capuano has to do to lose his job. Unless he already has,
yeah.
I missed it, because that would be kind of hilarious.
Yeah, no, he did. You know, there's been rumors that he's going to be interviewing for the Las Vegas job.
Of course,
that's also been floated with, Julian too, and Gallant, former Florida coach. So we'll see. I think Las Vegas will get themselves a nice coach either way. And who knows? Maybe Capuano will rise from the dead at some point.
That's a big if. I would think.
If. But his replacement has done a pretty solid job. They've started to climb back into the race, and they're just 3 points out of a wild card spot. And, you know, if you go back to some of our past podcasts, I mean, we were not very kind to the Islanders. But they just give them credit. Grice and Berube have been beasts, and their defense has taken a massive step forward, and they're starting to score with more regularity. They're getting production from their third and fourth lines too. So that's and who knows, maybe they'll make a surprise run. But I still think it's unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, since I'm apparently so out of the loop that my coaching pick has already been fired, I'm going to change that vote to Colorado.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, that organization. I'm a closet Avalanche fan, but they are a dumpster fire right now. Like, Jerome Iginla wants dealt by the deadline. They're talking about trading Duchesne and Landeskog. I mean, there's only so much that Bednar can do behind the bench, especially this is his first year in the NHL. But, the whole combination of things, they're like the last place in the Central Division by a good 20 points. Something has just got to give.
Yeah, it's you have to look back on when Patrick Waugh left, it was because of a dispute with management over sort of who had the control. And Patrick Waugh had been really effective. I remember Colorado was top of the league a few years ago. You have to go back and wonder, be like, was Patrick Waugh right? Were his personnel decisions the right way to go? Because now you look at it and it's like, oh my goodness, they don't really have an identity. They have some guys who can, be quick and effective playmakers, and McKinnon, Duchesne. But then you got some of the big bruisers too, and they don't really have their defense completely lacks identity as far as I'm concerned. I obviously Eric Johnson, he's really good. Beyond that, it's not really much to help him there. And with the injury too, they're really on their last leg. You're not getting any really solid defense from Zadorov, Weirkoch. So they got to really change some things. I mean, top to bottom makeover here. And I think it'd be in their best interest to move some of these guys. I mean, if you think about it this way, they could be one of the worst teams, but we also have an expansion team coming in. There's going to be a lot of player movement. And you got to jump on it and get as many assets as you can right now and try and position yourself for the future, because some of these things might go away. Some of these opportunities, I mean, we've seen Colorado already make one trade, McLeod, but perhaps they can do some more. Fedor Tootin, for example, I think his contract is expiring, so he could be on the way out for someone who might need any help defensively.
Right. There's, especially with the expansion draft coming up, there's so much talk about players whose contracts are running up or who they think might go in the draft, and you want to get a return on them now. As a Penguins fan, you've got Fleury, and that is just going to be a whole ordeal. But, there's always a question of, are you going to cash in for a rental and make a run for it, which Colorado is not in a position to do. And
right.
Are you banking on someone getting taken so much that you want to return now and you'll open someone else up to being taken during the expansion? I'm glad I am not a GM, honestly.
Yeah.
Sounds like
it's going to be a very confusing. You'll see, we'll look back on this upcoming offseason in a couple of years and be like, wow, how did this person sneak into Las Vegas? How did they not protect this person? Some young guy that we just sort of forgot about who will break out, and it'll just be, be like, wow, this is a franchise shaping trade for Las Vegas or for anyone who makes a deal with Las Vegas. I mean, keep in mind, they can start trading very soon, actually. so they can get involved in the future here and maybe at least make some draft decisions in advance of this the end of this year.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on throughout the rest of the season and the off season. It's just like the looming specter of Las Vegas
mm-hmm.
on the horizon. So some other trades that have kind of made news to move away from Vegas for a minute, or not made news, but speculation has at least been there, is
mm-hmm.
Shane Gostisbehere from the Philadelphia
mm.
Flyers. Obviously a really, really talented young guy, but he keeps getting healthy scratched for reasons I'm not entirely sure why anyone would do. So do you see them actually making a move on that, or management getting in with Hextall and being like, hey, you need to play this guy more, or just kind of going with the status quo?
I honestly don't see it happening unless some, I mean, you know, so let's address some of these, get back to Colorado here for a second. You know, there have been a lot of talk that if there would be any deal for Landeskog or Duchesne, it would have to include someone like Brandon Carlo and Boston. And Gostisbehere kind of fits the same mold. And they're different players, obviously, different sizes. But they fit the same mold of a young, controllable, ridiculously talented defenseman. And you know, I think management will have to get in there and say, look, you got to play him. But, you know, I think they won't do it until they find out sort of where they stand. They're the 8 seed right now. They're definitely in trouble of missing out right behind them, Boston, New York. They're sort of lurking, and they're not really making anything happen. I think ultimately he will stay in Philly. I don't see a situation where they do that. I think they've really made an effort the past couple of years to create a defensive core. Obviously, Provorov is, you know, another incredible talent, but I think they're going to keep looking to fill this out and eventually move on from guys like Andrew McDonald and, you know, stuff like that. But if anything, I see Philly adding, I don't see them subtracting. I think they're going to start making moves soon. The problem is that they're so dangerously close to the cap. They've had to work out from under that the past couple of years. And I think the management team has done a great job there, actually. But, you know, we'll see them make a couple interesting moves, I think. There are guys out there who might be available. They could always bring back old friend Ryan White. Arizona's not making the playoffs, as far as I'm concerned. He would probably be available if they wanted to sort of get the culture back. But we'll see. I don't know. I think ultimately Gostisbehere stays.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can't really see management wanting to make that move, regardless of how much playing time he's actually getting. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure his tenure there is going to outlast Hextall's, unless something drastic happens. So
mm-hmm.
I think to look in the long run, that keeping Gostisbehere is obviously so much more beneficial to the team. I don't want to see anything complimentary to the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
okay, let's talk about
what would be the best path.
Yeah, and you know, let's switch gears. Let's talk about some of these other trades too. I mean, most recent was Vernon Fiddler going to Nashville from New Jersey for a 4th-round pick. And then we also had you know, the other notable trade was Nikita Nesterov heading from Tampa to Montreal for Jonathan Racine and a 6th-round pick. I don't know. What are your takes on some of those?
I don't know. I mean, personally, I've always liked Vern Fiddler. Brief story time here. I was in Dallas over the summer, and I ran into him at the Dallas airport. He was going on an up escalator, and I was going down, and I did a double take, and I almost fell down the escalator, and he noticed, and he laughed at me. And, like, I just kept going down into, like, the pits of shame. And it was, like, since then, I really liked the guy because it was hilarious. But
well, hey, Vern Fiddler, if you're listening, Kaylee's not weird, I swear.
For some reason, you're listening to us. Yeah, no, I like that move. It seems like Preds fans are really happy to have him back in Nashville, especially if it's, you know, he's older, if his career is coming back to a close, it's kind of a nice way to end it back in Nashville. I think it gives them a little more depth, even though, you know, their younger guys have really been the ones who have been setting the bar this season.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as veteran leadership goes, I think he's much better than Ribeiro, who, thank goodness, is out of there.
Right, right. Yeah, I wonder when, if I have a feeling he'll find a new home at some point. I think they'll be able to do something. We'll figure it out. Maybe it's just for some other depth young player or something. But you know, I think it's been fantastic to watch Nashville. They've been real winners as far as I'm concerned. They've made some savvy waiver pickups. They've added McLeod and Fiddler. They've totally reshaped their third and fourth line, and they've had some injuries defensively, but they've still gotten some solid production out of guys who've been castaways like Matt Irwin. But I think Nashville, you know, they're serious about competing, and it's been fun to watch them, I think. And then, you know, the other trade, of course, Nikita Nesterov to Montreal. I thought Montreal, that was a sort of a I was a little annoyed personally because I knew that, yeah, you got a guy like Nesterov who has all this talent, and it just was never really unlocked in Tampa. And I kind of had this feeling that as soon as he, you know, left to go to Montreal, that it was going to sort of begin to get unlocked. And, you know, and so far he's been slightly better. And we'll see. Maybe he takes an even bigger step forward. But I like the move for Montreal. I thought that was kind of a light return. Although that's Racy, of course, he was a former Florida prospect and went to Montreal in a separate deal earlier this year. Of course, was now on the move. He's back in Florida, so I'm sure that's probably nice for him. But we'll see. I don't know. I think that's another example where Tampa has to deal with all these restricted free agents that are coming up, and Nesterov is one of them. So they didn't really get a great return, but that'll set them up to work out contracts with their other young guys.
Right, I agree. I think that was a really good move for Tampa to make because, like you said, Nesterov wasn't really getting utilized to his full potential there, so it's good for him to kind of get a fresh start. It's good for Tampa to get that contract freed up. Yeah, I mean, basically repeating everything you just said. I think they definitely made a better move, but if Montreal had room to do it, then it's certainly not bad for them either.
Montreal is really – they've also been searching for, you know – like just some back end defensive help, and Nesterov will just slot right in there, and you know he'll be a restricted free agent, but I'm sure Montreal can work out at least a bridge contract with him. I think that's you know, it'd be something you know, he's making about, I'm looking at the numbers here, he's making up $725,000 right now. He'll be looking at probably somewhere between $1.1-1.4 million, I think. You know, that's just a sort of a guesstimate. I'm not the greatest with numbers, but that's typically, from what I've seen in the past, that's sort of a good indicator. We'll see. Maybe he blossoms there. It's too early to tell, but I'm looking forward to see what the rest of the trade deadline season has.
Yeah, it's always crazy, but like we said earlier, I'm sure this year will be crazier than most even. So definitely keep an eye on that. Waiver wire, because that's been pretty active as well.
Yeah, it has. It's been a lot of, you know, claiming and trying to move around. I mean, you know, poor Reed Boucher. I mean, he's had quite a little run. Although he hasn't, he's finally stopped the circus. But of course, he was New Jersey. Was actually a factor last year, but didn't really make a splash. This year goes to Nashville. They hang on to him for a little bit. Then they try to pass him through waivers, only to get reclaimed by Nashville, do the same, only to be claimed by Vancouver. So it was kind of a rocky road for him. But, you know, it's been been some really nice waiver pickups, too. You know, back to Nashville. I mean, you know, Nashville's gotten some stuff out of Derek Grant, for a little bit. Brad Hunt, some interesting things there. There's been some solid waiver pickups and some iffy, but that's sort of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, one I was kind of following was Mark Barberio. The Avs picked him up from Montreal, of course, and he played in his first game against his old team this week already. And I believe he had an assist.
I believe that's right.
I don't think he scored, but I think he had an assist. So, I mean, that always feels good for guys, I'm sure, to go against the team
and
get at least a point right away.
Oh, they trust me. They need his help in Colorado. But hey, I mean, he could even be on the move again. You know, again, if Colorado is serious about selling, possibly. I mean, he was Colorado obviously had first waiver priority, so other people may have wanted him. So he could fetch something if they chose to get to move on from him, or maybe they could just choose to play him more to see him as a bigger role.
And then. I think we've beaten this horse into the dirt. Colorado is obviously not making a playoff run this year. But for some of those bubble teams, like Philly, as we talked about, Boston, the Islanders, how much of a stake do you see them putting into, like, a run with getting rental players, making short moves immediately to try and force that run, as opposed to waiting it out? Like, Detroit probably finally breaking their playoff streak this year, but there's still so much hope there. Are they going to try and go for it? Are they going to shake up the whole thing? Like things like that. Who do you see getting rentals?
It's interesting. If you start in the East, I mean, the first three teams that are out of the playoffs right now have all fired their coach. So normally, you know, when that happens, it's usually a signal that there's going to be some more changes, but they're all still right there. Boston's 1 point back. New York's 3 points back. Florida's 3 points back. New Jersey, 3 points back. Carolina, 4 points back. It's pretty remarkable. I think Philly will make make some additions. I think it's plausible that Florida will make some additions because, you know, they've got some guys on there that want to win now, Jágr, of course. But and I think they have the financial flexibility to make those moves. Boston has a little bit of room, but if things keep trending the way they are, which is not great, they could be in for a minor sell, but they don't really have many pieces to sell at this point. I think they could stay pretty stagnant. And then, you know, if you go to the West, it's kind of you kind of get some similar aspects. But I don't think some of these teams that are – I don't think Winnipeg will buy. I think they're content to let this sort of keep going. I think they've got too many young players, and I think they'd rather just hold on to their assets and make a big run next year. I think Los Angeles will absolutely make an addition. They're 1 point out. They're a marquee franchise right now, and just in the past 10 years, they're going to make a run. Dallas, I could see them if they could just get something going. They could, but if you go a week from now and they're still 7 points, if they're any worse than 7 points out a week or two from now, I would sell. But and they have some pieces to do that. They could fetch a nice return for Patrick Sharp, FYI. I say they sell. I say Calgary adds. I say Vancouver probably sells. I don't really think they've had some stretches where they look okay, but I don't really think they're playoff caliber as far as I'm concerned. I think it's really going to be coming down to Calgary and Los Angeles for that last spot. I know they're right next to each other now, but I don't really see the youth in Winnipeg is too much. Dallas and Vancouver really just haven't played up to par. So I think that's probably what it's going to end up like. And obviously some of these other teams ahead of them are going to add too. Edmonton will probably add, despite them being very young. I think, you know, Chiarelli is, as I've known him from his time in Boston, he'll make a move if he has to. We saw that with Taylor Hall
and for Adam Larson. So we'll see. It's there are a lot of teams that are going to be motivated to sell in the next couple of weeks, but we need the dust to settle.
Yeah, I agree. I think I can definitely see Calgary trying to make some moves before the deadline to kind of shore up some things. So I think they'll definitely be busy. Busy, busy, busy. Well, I think that is pretty much everything I had on the schedule. Is there anything else you would care to discuss?
Nothing right now. Just really intrigued to see what happens the next few days. I had this feeling that we're going to see a big trade in the next week. I just have a feeling in my gut, so I'm really excited to see what it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping at least one of these Duchesne or Landeskog trades pans out, because I really just want to see the return more than anything.
I think it'd be interesting. I also, one thing I could see, you know, if Minnesota ever, you know, decides they have someone on their team that doesn't really fit, I could see them sliding over to St. Louis, because they appear to be motivated to make some claims and sort of shore up their back end too. So if some of these, you know, some of these former Wild, they could come back and, you know, at the urging of Mike Eo. And I think, we'll see what happens. They've actually been pretty young on their fourth line, but maybe they make a move and they try and get someone better. I think they have the system to do it.
Well, we'll definitely have to keep our eyes open, because I have the same feeling that something huge is about to happen.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Hopefully we'll have something big to discuss in next week's podcast.
I sure hope so.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you check out Total Sports Live and, of course, read our stuff first, but then stick around and read everyone else's too. And tune in next week for more hockey. And once again, hopefully some big trade to talk about.
Hopefully. Good night, everyone.